Very troubling story. I think it's in today's paper, actually. Bonanza County Correction Officer viciously, I mean viciously, folks, assaulted by a gang member. And here to discuss is Brian Sullivan. He's the president of the Bonanza County Correction Officers Benevolent Association. And, you know, when you read a story, and good morning, Brian. Great to have you as always. You know, when you read a story of this nature, it just, you know, it's the era of bail reform, anti-law enforcement rhetoric. You know, if this doesn't encapsulate as far as everything that goes on in that regard, I don't know what does. Troubling story, my friend. If you can recap for the audience, if you don't mind.
Sure. Good morning, Jay, again. Thank you for having me on and always having a sympathetic ear to what goes on here. And you hit it right on the head about all this bail reform and law enforcement sentiment. And one of the things that I always strive to do is to try and get the message out there about what goes on behind the walls in our correctional facilities. It's law enforcement, but it's completely different from the police and everything else. And this past Sunday was a perfect example of it. They were running in one of our buildings. They were running. All the inmates are allowed to go to recreation. It's like in the old movies. They go out into the rec yard. They're allowed to go out and so they can get some air and exercise and things like that, which is a good thing because it usually lowers the tensions. But this one inmate, he's a Blood Gang member, and he's got a long history of violence and prior assaults on staff. Also, he's done time upstate for robbery. He's getting ready to go upstate for 5 years for all kinds of drug charges, waiting for another drug charge. That's why he's here. But they were running this recreation movement. He comes out, and for whatever his reasons were, he was looking to bring a bunch of items, you know, nothing, you know, no contraband or anything that we know of, but looking to bring a bunch of items with him out into the rec yard, which you're not allowed to do because we don't let you carry anything just in case you have any kind of contraband or weapons. So the officer told him to put the stuff back in his cell. Some words were passed. He did put the stuff back in his cell, and the inmate came back out again and became belligerent with the inmate, with the officer, forgive me, and you know, as they were trying to tell him either go to the rec yard or go back in your cell, it's your choice, pal. He just went, you know, jumped off the ledge and jumped on the officer and started immediately, you know, punching the hell out of him, pummeling him, punching him in the face. And it was a relatively quick incident, thank God, because other officers were there that were able to render assistance immediately. But the damage was done. He got in a bunch of shots on this officer in his face. He cut up his face pretty good just with, you know, from punches, and broke the officer's nose. They originally thought there was a broken orbital because he had such a badly closed left eye. But thank God it was all like soft tissue injury, but the officers, both of his eyes were closed and bruised up and a broken nose. And the inmate was immediately taken out and brought over to our separate wing for assault of inmates and was put there again while he's going to await charges on this. There's an investigation going on into it. They're in the midst of getting all the paperwork done, and I've made my intentions known that I want this inmate charged to the fullest extent. We've had a problem in the past where, for many years, that when inmates are housed here and they're facing years in jail, or they've already been sentenced to years in jail, that the system, you know, the DA's office, whoever happens to be there at the time, they're more interested in getting rid of the inmate, get him out of here and ship him upstate. So they don't really push to have these inmates charged and give them consecutive sentences for assaulting correction officers, which is much different than what goes on the street with police officers. So a lot of times, if you give a concurrent sentence, say you get an assault two on an inmate because he caused physical injuries, either, you know, broken bones and types of injuries, it's all the different levels of assault. If that inmate gets say a 2-4 for that assault, and he's already serving 5 years in jail upstate, they'll run that concurrent just to get the inmate out of here, or he'll plea out to it just to get him out, get him upstate, and get him out of the situation. To me, that's the worst thing you could do, because you're telling inmates it's a freebie to assault correction officers. And a lot of times in the past, I had a guy that was on my union board. He actually had to go out and retire on a disability because of a severe neck injury. And the inmate wasn't properly charged, and he got a freebie on our officer. And it's something that I'm not going to stand for. I'm gonna get it out in the public as much as possible, and we have to make sure that these inmates know that you think you're gonna put your hands on correction officers, you're gonna get charged. We're gonna make sure the DA's office and the department and the county rightfully charges this inmate, and we're pushing very, very big for consecutive charges. We can't allow these inmates to think that they could just put their hands on officers and it doesn't mean anything. So that's what I'm looking at right now, and that's what I'm hoping that I'm gonna get.
And I'll tell you, Brian, I saw the picture of this police officer. I mean, folks, the black eyes, as described by Brian, I mean, it's just, it's awful. It really is. And I mentioned, you know, before, we live in an era right now where it's okay to release the incarcerated back out on the streets only to commit these heinous acts all over again. And, you know, when we hear the rhetoric and everything else, it just emphasizes even more that, you know, and here's the thing, and I say this over and over again, Brian. The people that are housed in these jails, they're not innocent people. They're not. They are not misunderstood people. These are people that advocates want out of the jails and onto the streets and to mix in with the public, and that's where families and kids are at risk here. I mean, that's really what it is right now. And I say this over and over and over again, in which an individual who's incarcerated is getting the services they need in jail, the rehabilitation and everything else, mentally and everything else. And guess what? They're out in the street. They're not getting those services. So you're creating a double danger in that regard. Yep. So, you know, I can't understand this rhetoric over and over again. My goodness.
Jay,
you know, it just never ends.
Just enough to let me on your show numerous times, and we've talked about bail reform. We've talked about the crimes that have gone up, and I've talked about just that issue. And I still get in arguments with people. I still see online comments and in Newsday and different things like that where people, and I just don't get the mindset where people think that you're lying to them. That you can watch even the most liberal news, like Channel 4 news at night. And you see, they'll tell you straight out the crimes that are going on, especially in the city. There's triple digit increases in crimes since bail reform and discovery reform. Look at this poor kid that was shot in Bushwick the other day, a drive-by shooting. He's here with a bunch of guys. I don't know what possesses people to come from Indiana to hang out in Bushwick, Brooklyn, with the history that's gone on in Bushwick, Brooklyn. But the you know, and you talked about it specifically. There's no safety net, which was taken out of the equation here. When people get arrested in Nassau County or any of these other jurisdictions, there's mental health programs, there's drug programs, there's school programs, there's all types of rehabilitation that can be given to them. But the people that are behind bail reform, discovery reform, I don't think they even care about that. There's a whole different thing of just let everybody out. They have such a hatred for law enforcement. Of course, there's also an aspect of municipalities that'll jump on board because they don't want to pay for the cost of incarceration. So it's a double whammy. But they say that they rolled back some of the bail reform laws earlier this year. They didn't roll anything back. They put things back under things that could be bailable offenses, but they completely left out the judicial discretion again, and they have to release people on the least restrictive means possible, which more often than not means released on their own recognizance. So you have mentally ill, drug addicts, people that have all different types of personality disorders that do not get put into a program that could potentially save their life as an offender, let alone the public. They're not given put into any of these programs. They're let loose out onto the street again, and people are standing there just either bewildered or in disbelief that crime statistics are up everywhere. We just had a public safety budget hearing about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago in Nassau County, and they talked about how recently USA Today said that Nassau County was the safest community and the safest county in America. This was all based on prior statistics prior to bail reform coming into play in New York State. Nassau County, it's a beautiful community. It really is. But these statistics are falsely out there as if this is going on now. After bail reform, the police commissioner was up there. There was a gentleman named Jed Painter. He's the representative of the Nassau County DA's office. painted a very grim picture of the wonderful suburbs here that you know, we live adjacent to New York City, right, in Queens and Brooklyn. They painted a very grim picture, and to use Jed Painter's words, crime statistics, crime is up, up, up in every major category. All crimes are up across the board since bail reform. The only crime that was down was grand larcenies, and that's because the malls were closed for months with COVID. And different businesses were closed, so that's a misnomer that grand larcenies were down. But murders are up, robberies are up. Residential burglaries in Nassau County are through the roof. Auto crimes, assaults, all of these things are completely up. And one of the most startling statistics that the DA's office said was that in New York State, fatal overdoses are up over 43%. Fatal overdoses. Now, what does that tell you when we have jails that are sitting half empty and programs that are sitting completely empty, drug programs, mental health programs? These advocates are not helping the public, obviously, which is our biggest concern because we represent the public, but they're not helping these offenders that may be suffering from some addiction or some mental illness. They're just allowing them to die. And I don't understand the rationale behind somebody who says they're of a liberal mind and people shouldn't be languishing in jail, which is no old nonsense to begin with, because, you know, before this, over 70% of people were released into programs or released out on their own recognizance pending whatever the judge ordered. But all that was taken away. The safety nets, everything else was taken away. Let them loose on the streets, and we're going to put hands over our eyes and ears and pretend that crime and all these statistics aren't through the roof and people aren't suffering because of it.
You know, we're talking with Ryan Sullivan. It's a great point you made as well, you know, with the safest county in the United States. But you know what? Let's look at bail reform here, folks. These are statistics and data that had given you before all this kind of came into play. And, you know, and that's why with an election a week away, people have to think about, and not to get too crazy political here with Brian on the line. But, you know, I can't help but think of the fact that so many of these individuals, you know, have opted to make sure that this is in place, this reform. And again, you know, those who say, well, we fixed it a little. No, you didn't fix it a little.
Fix it at all.
You want to fix it, you tear it down at the stump, okay? And you rebuild it. You don't just tweak it here and there, okay? Because judges are still handcuffed here. They're still handcuffed. I've 100%. Said this a million times. How many more times do I have to repeat the same thing? And it's amazing. I get more texts and emails from groups that, you know, when I talk about this stuff, you know, they are absolutely, you know, sounding off like you wouldn't believe. But here's the thing. You must give judges full discretion, full, not half full, to consider public safety. I mean, really, no matter what the charge is, in deciding whether an individual needs to be jailed pending a trial. I mean, come on. I've said that till the cows come home. And I tell you what, another thing, the presumption on this rapid disclosure, that has to be reversed based on victim and witness information, Brian. And the third aspect, and I've said this 100 times, is the slashing the rest of this new discovery requirement, at least to a level that, you know, these crime labs and the prosecutors can manage in a timely manner. I mean, you cannot let defense attorneys, I mean, this is so obvious. You can't let defense attorneys game the system. How? Well, by gumming up the works until the prosecution gives in. This is common sense stuff. It's unbelievable.
Reform and discovery reform was written by defense attorneys. It was written by defense attorneys, and they were given a free rein. And you hit the nail on the head about this whole thing with judicial discretion. When this was first coming around back in 2018 into 2019, we sat down with all of my coalition, with all the other correction unions. We sat down with Mike Gennaris, and who's the deputy majority leader in the Senate. And we told him that you guys are going to do this because you have the power to do it in a one-party system in New York State, but you need to give the judges discretion. He assured us that no bill would go through, no program bill or anything in the budget, however they ended up doing it, none of this would go through unless there was a specific thing for judicial discretion. The judges have to have judicial discretion. Flash forward to many months later when it was put through the budget in the middle of the night with no hearings, no public, you know, input from any of the stakeholders like us in law enforcement. Judicial discretion was specifically carved out of it. They do not want judges making decisions in this, and it was specifically carved out. We had conversations with every one of these senators, particularly the Long Island Six, who all said that they wouldn't vote for it unless it had judicial discretion, and it was put through in the budget. And they were all threatened. I've spoken to all of them, and they've all said the same story. They were threatened from Albany on down that if they did not vote for this, that they would have aid taken from their districts, school aid, things like that. So they basically had a gun put to their heads. You're voting for this. They put it through, and then they all took the beatings for it when the crime and everything ran up, and they tried to go back and give this, you know, this false hand wave of fixing it, which didn't fix anything. But the thing that scares me now is they're talking about doing it if Joe Biden gets elected. They want to do bail reform, which is bail erasure on the national level. It's how do you look at what's gone on in New York State and use that as some sort of a model and say, this is great, we want to do this on a national level? There's people getting shot left and right in New York State. The crimes are up, the shootings are up, shooting victims are up, robberies, burglaries, everything is up, and we're looking at this saying, that's a great model for the national level. We're going to make sure that's done nationally if Joe Biden gets elected. I don't know who the hell is paying attention to any of this stuff, but we're going to be in a real bad, We're in a real bad way now, and the voices just are not being listened to, and the victims' voices are certainly not being listened to. And I don't know where this ends. I honestly don't know where this ends because it could be going down a real rabbit hole here.
You know how it ends, Brian? You know how it ends? It ends on Election Day. And that's when you get rid of all of these individuals who want to make it unsafe for civilization out there, who want to lead their lives in a civil manner, but they can't because you're letting these hoodlums out on the street.
Right.
To commit these acts of violence over and over again. You know, you brought up a guy by the name of Mike Gennaris, right, out of Queens, Senator?
Right, yep.
We've had him on the show a couple of times. By the way, full disclosure, he won't come on my program now. Why? Because it's the obvious, folks. This was a guy who said that when this thing was enacted, I have it written down right in front of me at all times, by the way, Brian. He said, quote, this law has been in effect for 6 days. 6 days, he says. The leading backer of the bail law, for every story that ends up on the press, according to Gennaris, he said, there are dozens of people who now aren't incarcerated on low-level charges stuck because they can't afford bail. I mean, you know, this is a prime example of why guys like Gennaris has to go. He has to find greener pastures somewhere else because right now he is creating a cluster blank of nonsense within our society. He has to go. I'm sorry. He has to go.
I couldn't agree with you more. And as because far as I'm concerned, he lied right to all of our faces right from the get-go.
Right. And let me tell you another thing, okay? Because I did this story earlier today regarding the Civil Liberties Union and the Legal Aid Society. How dare they? This bogus lawsuit. Now, listen, I'm no de Blasio fan. You know that. Everyone knows that. But the lawsuit against the mayor, the lawsuit against the NYPD Commissioner Dermot Shea, police officials, are you kidding me? The incidents of the 11 complaints of police brutality during the protests of the summer. But it's okay. It's okay for those individuals to hurl a Molotov cocktail, right? It's okay for those individuals to go to a pallet of freshly shipped bricks.
Bricks.
And throw them through Macy's 34th Street. Mm-hmm. It's okay for those folks to do that.
And
okay?
Burn down Dunkin'
so
Donuts,
what do we do? We're going to listen to a bogus lawsuit of that nature. What an absolute disgrace. Disgrace when you do a story of that nature. I'll tell you. Gennaris, Jim Gorin, Kevin Thomas. Listen, I have Monica Martinez on my show who promised she would not vote this thing. But you're right. They were threatened.
Yep.
By Albany.
Top down.
Remember 50A? Remember that whole thing with 50A?
Yep.
And the governor signing that executive action, Brian? Remember that whole thing, that closed-door Monday deal? In place, 50A. Holy mackerel. Where have we gone as a society? That's where I want to know.
Did you ever think on Long Island, with the Long Island 6, it used to be the Long Island 9, the other direction, that they would be voting to release all the prisoners out of the jail with no programs? That's Long Island. That's what you pay some of the highest taxes in the country for public safety, for everything else. But the elected people in here that just said, nope, this is going to be Queens and the Bronx, Brooklyn and the Bronx. Enjoy it.
You know, on this a long time. This is something that no matter what you bring up to me and everything else, there's no rhyme or reason, okay? No rhyme or reason.
No.
If you are an elected official and you were threatened by this, stand up to Albany. Stand up to Albany. Because we'll have more respect for you. But right now, there is no respect.
No.
Because you agree with these types of policies, and you let these inmates, like this Eugene LaPierre, did what he did to that police officer, to that that corrections officer.
Correction officer, with no reservation whatsoever.
And to punch the daylights out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Is just, it's unconscionable. I'm telling you right now.
And he's a big guy. Our correction officer, he's a big guy. He's kind of, he poses an imposing figure, and this guy didn't think twice about attacking him.
It's an absolute disgrace. We elect people to protect and preserve.
That should be the number one thing that our politicians do, is protect their constituents. They did not. But the number one thing they did was make our system weaker and put everybody's public safety in danger. And they have to be held accountable a week from today.
Everybody's at risk. And I say this, 7 days. 7 days, folks. Okay? You know, everybody talks about term limits, this and guess what? There are term limits in place. You know what I mean by that?
Booth. Yep.
You go to the voting booth. You go to the polling center. You have early voting going on right now. You have massive amounts of people. Early voting going on right now, folks. Okay? So there are term limits in place. And if you don't like the way your life is right now, well, guess what?
Change it.
Think about why. You have the right to make a change.
Yep.
The problem is, we let the same dreck over and over and over again rear their ugly heads in political power.
Jay, if people aren't paying attention now with everything that's gone on and all the unrest that's gone on and all the anti-law enforcement rhetoric and all this nonsense that's gone on over the last year, if they're not paying attention now and they don't get out and get involved, I don't know what could ever possibly be done to get them to get their heads in the game. Because if their heads aren't in the game now, they're just not paying attention.
I really don't know.
They got to come out and make a statement.
Brian, I am at a loss for words because I can't figure it out. You're right. If the statement is not made in 7 days, I just don't know what it will take. I don't think it'll ever be fixed. But you know what I always say, sir? There is always that hope. We can only dream as far as the next 7 days are concerned. We can only dream.
And I do have it's hope. On, I really do.
It's on that eighth day in which we have to be careful. Listen, it is, you know, it's always a pleasure. We thank you for coming to the airwaves with this absolutely horrific story. And like I said, you know,
I appreciate the platform. I thank you every time you do it, and I really appreciate it. I know the fact that you back all of our people, so it's always a pleasure to come on your show, Jay.